Hey guys, Mark Allred here again from Mark My Words, and today we're going to be doing a special interview with one of my good friends, Richie Norton, author of The Power of Starting Something Stupid, and actually a longtime friend of mine back from the days of college. So first off, thanks so much, Richie, for taking out the time of your day to meet with me and chat and talk about some good books and talk about your book. And by way of introduction, Richie's recent book, The Power of Starting Something Stupid, is something that you can find a couple of posts on my blog so far that I've written a little bit about it. So I wanted to talk even more to Richie and get more depth on his book and as well as a story on a book that impacted him. And we can talk more about that. But first off, thanks again, Richie. And give us a little bit of your background. How did you get into writing and how did you get to kind of where you are and some of the things that you've done up to this point?
Cool. Well, yeah, really excited to be on here. Thanks for having me. This is gonna be fun. I'm glad to be able to do this with a friend too. So, you know, I'll just start with getting into writing. One time I was actually putting on a conference and one of the keynote speakers said, "How far can your influence go?" And when she said that, I thought, "Wow, that's powerful. You know, how far can your influence go?" And I was reminded that all stories inspire them, and that kind of thing about writing. Yeah. So, I started writing things down and started contacting people about how to be an author, you know, and how to tell stories in a way that engage with people. And I just started working on it. And it took me longer than expected. That book, The Power of Starting Something Stupid, took me 6 years from the time I decided to do it to the time it actually published. Probably because, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. Yeah. And I was kind of learning as I was going. But I'm glad it took that long because it gave me the time to actually do the interviews I wanted to do the research I wanted to do, and create a product that I couldn't have if I would have done it, you know, faster. Now I could probably pump out a book a lot quicker because I learned
the process,
you know, process and all that. Yeah. But there is something to say when you put some real time into something that the seasoning of it can't help it. At the same time, though, you do want to push yourself to get it out.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It was finally when I got a deal with a publisher, they started putting deadlines on me that I actually started, you know, staying up all night to actually finish it. So,
yeah.
So that was good. But as far as business goes, you know, I started out just as a kid, just kind of being entrepreneurial, selling watermelons out of the back of my van during the 4th of July, you know, just doing weird stuff. And in college, it was there that I saw a lot of people. You know, I went to school at BYU Hawaii, where there's students from over 70 different countries. And all these students, they wanted to go back to their home countries, but didn't see a way that they could.
Yeah.
And so I thought maybe there's a way through entrepreneurship. And so I would approach them and they would go through these business plan competitions. And I would say, "Hey, are you actually going to start that idea?" And a lot of times they weren't. They were just kind of going through the motions.
Right.
People that were serious, I helped start raising some money. This is why I was still in college, to help them go back to their home country and start those ideas. The first business I did, like serious business I did, was actually a cashmere company, if you can believe it or not, out of Mongolia.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you get an idea to do something and you just take those baby steps, weird things can happen, you
right.
know? And so one thing kind of built upon the other, and it's been a fun process. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, thanks for a little bit of background for folks there. Let's start digging into your book. Let's talk a lot more about kind of where that started and give us kind of the general gist of the book for folks who've never heard about it.
Okay. Well, you know, the Power of Starting Something Stupid is interesting because I started studying the kind of the story of success, and I realized that successful people, they started things. It was obvious that they were starting things. But what was interesting is that they would start things that sometimes other people labeled stupid
right.
or crazy
yeah.
or they'd say you shouldn't do that thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because it was inherently stupid, but because it was something that was different. It was innovative. It was unconventional. It just hadn't been done before, but it was those people that kind of changed the face of the world. I kind of call it the three T's of stupidity. Everything from the Model T to the telephone to Twitter was,
right.
was a stupid idea.
Right.
And, you know, eBay was a stupid idea. Steve Jobs, you know, he did so many things that people thought was stupid. Just the list goes on and on
right.
and on. But as I dug into that, I realized that sometimes we will have these thoughts, but we won't do anything with them, and we'll label them crazy or stupid or whatever because we're scared.
Right.
Right? And so I realized we have to overcome those fears and take baby steps to kind of make these things happen. Well, around this time when I was doing this study, I also was doing interviews with people. I was president of a financial services company, and I was doing interviews with people and asking them about their lives and where they wanted to go, what they wanted to do. And a lot of these people, they had already been, they're approaching retirement or they're in retirement, and they would say, you know, I waited my whole life to do this one thing because I thought I needed more time, I needed more education, I needed more experience, I needed more money, you know, only to find out that when they got there, they still needed more time, more education, more experience, more money. And it's because, you know, things change so quickly that, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, that idea you had today is going to be so much different later, maybe irrelevant, or just different environment, whatever. And so I was like, man, it's just so important to get going on those ideas now. If you don't have the time, is there someone you can partner with? If you don't have the experience, is there a mentor that can help you? If you don't have the money, what can you do without money? You know, how far can you get along? Can you get, a partner or some funding? Also around that same time, a third thing happened. My brother-in-law, he was 21 years old, passed away in his sleep.
Yep.
Totally unexpectedly. And that just completely threw us for a curveball. It shook our world. And we realized that life is short. And, you know, just because that's cliche doesn't make it any less true, right?
Yep.
And a little bit later, we had our fourth son, and we named him Gavin after my brother-in-law, Gavin, who had passed away. And he brought so much joy into our lives, but we didn't know that, you know, shortly into his life, about 76 days into his life, he would pass away too.
Right.
He caught something called pertussis, which is also known as whooping cough. And that experience, again, just made me realize, again, life is so fragile. We don't have enough time to do all the things we want to do. So if there is an idea that is pressing on your mind, even if it might be stupid, so to speak, take advantage of it.
Yep.
Do something with it. And so these experiences all happen around the same time. That's kind of formed the story of the book, you know, that we have these dreams, that we have these fears, but we don't want to live with regret. And what can we do, and how can we overcome these obstacles so we can turn stupid ideas into a smart reality? So I say that stupid is the new smart, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That in reality, some of the greatest innovations that have changed the history of the world, but also in people's personal lives, started with that inkling of a stupid idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Reading your book and starting from the beginning of those, you know, from Gavin, your son, and then from, you know, the brother-in-law, those were interesting things for me to read because we lived in the same town when those things happened.
Right.
And we got to hear about it. We got to see it when it happened, as well as with your child. We were friends at the time. We got to see it on the blogs and see how you guys were going through that. And then to be able to see how that impacted the choices that you made following that were really, really impressive. And just like you said, sometimes we get into scenarios where we're apathetic about the creativity that's inside of us. You know, we have these great ideas and we sit there and we let them incubate, but we never push on them. We never take action on them. And then, you know, down the road we're full of regret for whatever reason, but sometimes it requires moments like losing someone close to you to realize how finite life is.
Yeah.
And how important it is to take advantage of the time that you do have to try and accomplish something to impact people's lives. So that was a special thing for me to be able to hear and to see how the impact, and I'm grateful to see that. Me personally, when I started reading your book, there were moments where the ideas were so forceful that I had to put it down, and I started taking action on whether it was the blog or something that I was doing with my own career or plans that I had. And it became this almost kind of dangerous book where it's like, okay, unless I have time that I can dedicate to taking action while I'm reading this, I can't pick it up right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that a lot of people who have read it have had very similar situations to where it's inspiring and it motivates you to action. So it's not something to kind of trifle with too much. If you have any of these great ideas kind of sitting in the back of your head, there are great steps that your book outlines to help you take those kinds of steps, which, you know, there are a number of other books that have done that for me as well, but this one specifically was pretty helpful with that. I'm curious if anyone has specifically brought up their experiences on how this has motivated them to take specific action that you've heard of so far.
I get so many stories from people. It's what I live for. Like, it's so fun.
I can imagine. Yeah.
people have done. For example, I have just a couple days ago, I was doing a podcast with someone who has, I guess, done really well on iTunes with their podcast, and they said the reason they started it was because of the book, The Power of Starting Something Stupid.
Yeah.
I've had other people email me telling me they're starting little businesses, like selling handmade blankets that they were doing. You know, like like little cool things. But then I've had other people that have told me they started nonprofits, and they've actually started selling shirts and going around the world and literally going to different countries and doing these social entrepreneurial ventures, and the list goes on and on and on. But it's just so inspiring to see people take action on it, you know? Yeah. So I love that. I love that part of it.
And that's kind of the perfect segue, because that's the whole point of what the blog and these interviews are for, to demonstrate books of real value that can help us to take action and to actually do something and to have impact. And so I love being able to hear unique stories of principles and books that motivated people to do something unique. So kind of that helps us to kind of shift into the next few questions. Let's talk a little bit about a specific book that has impacted you and kind of the story that follows that and the things that you've done since that. So we talked a little bit beforehand so we can kind of know what that is, but let's talk a little bit about the book that has impacted you.
Okay, well, I was ready for that question, and I brought the book with me.
Nice.
Okay, this is one of my favorite books, and it changed the course of my life. It's called Banker to the Poor, and it's about a man named Muhammad Yunus. And Muhammad Yunus, he's also known as the father of microlending. Okay. And so way back when, he was this professor of economics in, I believe, Bangladesh. And he was teaching all these principles, you know, of economics, of how the world should work. But he would walk outside and he'd see basically living skeletons, you know, walking around, people that were so impoverished that they couldn't even, you know, feed themselves.
Right.
And he went out to these, he tried to figure out what he could do about it, because his economic theories obviously weren't practical in the lives of these individuals right in his, you know, his doorstep. So he'd go out into the communities and he would ask people, you know, what it would take for them to feed their family. And it was just minimal amounts of money. But what he realized, that a lot of times these people were so impoverished that they relied on money lenders, you know, sharks that would charge such high interest rates that they were basically enslaved. And he realized that this one group of people, they could literally pay off these lenders for, I think it was about $27, so they could get themselves, you know, out of this situation.
Wow.
And he basically gathered some money up and gave it to them and you know, just wanted to see what would happen. Well, long story short, he started trying to go out and kind of represent the poor and go to banks and try and get money for them, and they just wouldn't do it. These are people that didn't have any credit, you know, history. No collateral. They couldn't necessarily read or write, and so the bank kind of laughed at him, you know, like, there's nothing we can do for them, there's nothing we will do for them. And so they call Muhammad Yunus the banker to the poor, because he is credited as kind of starting this micro lending movement, and has literally what he would do is he'd put together normally about six women, and they would all kind of tell each other, you know, if you don't pay back, none of us will be able to get any more money. So there's this peer pressure.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get all into the details of what he would do, but what I learned was that there was a way to help people get themselves out of poverty that wasn't necessarily pure charity, right? Mm. Meaning they didn't have to rely on a dole system.
Yeah.
That they could become self-reliant.
Yeah.
And that was just so inspiring to me, because I loved the idea. I'd lived in Brazil. He's in Bangladesh, but I lived in Brazil in an area that was extremely impoverished. And I knew they were talented, but they just didn't have the resources to get out of poverty. So I always had this thought, I would love to help people work their way out of poverty.
Yeah.
And when I looked at his model, it blew my mind that you could literally help people in the social realm with business skills.
So he's basically giving you the steps to, you know, it's one thing to say teach a man to fish, don't give him a fish, but how do you actually do that? Yeah, so he's giving you some steps to do that.
Totally. I mean, and his book is not telling you, he's telling you what he did and, you know, and how he made it happen. And I just took from that and thought, what could I do? And this is when I said I started that cashmere company in Mongolia. I started thinking, what could I do on a different level? Because there's this microfinance, which is lending, you know, dollars, $100. There's venture capital, which is lending, you know, millions of dollars. There's right. angel capital, which might be several $100,000. But there was this middle range of around $20,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 that people needed that I didn't see anybody kind of fitting and or doing something with. And so back to my college and saw these students entering business plan competitions, realizing that in their country they may only need $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, but no one was really funding them because there wasn't that big of a payoff and it was kind of risky, you know, but that's what they needed. Yeah. But there's no one there to do it. And so this kind of middle model is what I went after.
So if you were to try and narrow, you know, down, you know, because we can kind of see, you know, towards the end of the conversation, we're going to ask you to kind of explain how this impacted specifically your story. What did you do? But if you were to try to narrow down the one principle that you could identify that inspired your action, how could you kind of describe that principle?
Well, I learned, and someone else used this wording somewhere, but I learned that you could solve social ills with business skills.
Nice.
Right?
Yeah, rhyming always helps.
It helps, you know? And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted there to be a way that I could help people, but also make money for my family at the same time. Right. I didn't want to wait till I'm 65 and retired to start trying to help people get out of poverty or you know, do charity work or something like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
that is what, yeah, go ahead.
So start, tell us how this then impacted your action. You know, tell us about.
So I went, I wrote a business plan about this. I entered this business plan to a business plan competition, totally failed. They said I didn't have details, you know, and I said, well, I'm going to do it anyways. And
they were telling you that you were starting something stupid.
They totally did. And I went back and they actually helped me refine the plan. They helped introduce me to people that could either raise money or help or people that who had entered a business plan competition before that won that maybe were already in their country that I could go and help them. Right. So it started happening and I did this cashmere company. I started doing an inflatable bouncer company, did like a taxi company. And this is in Samoa. And then it turned into other people wanted to get on board. And eventually, so many people were interested in it that they created an institution on campus called the Center for Entrepreneurship. And I don't take credit for it. I just happened to be a part of it, you know. And,
yeah.
And now there's literally thousands of people that are enrolling in this program to learn how to start businesses in their home country.
Nice.
And it was just so cool. It just happened out of nowhere. But it was one foot in front of the other. And that led me, if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. It's so interesting because right. that got me into business development consulting. And so I started working with universities on developing earned income models. And then I started working with people in all kinds of different fields, financial services, real estate, military. It was bizarre. And it was kind of cool because I'd get behind the scenes in all these different companies and I'd be able to see what was working, what wasn't working, how there could be a synergy between different, you know, concepts and ideas and best practices. And that really launched a career for me in doing consulting and starting my own little ventures on the side. Which eventually led me to, you know, getting all these stories to write this book and gave me a platform to speak and be welcomed into all kinds of different environments to talk about business principles. So now I'm able to help people start and run small businesses and also work with corporations All because I started the stupid idea way back when. You know, I had no idea that doing that, helping those people in Mongolia would take me to, you know, writing books that are, you know, all over the place. So it's amazing.
Tell
us
a little bit more about specifically what you did in Mongolia.
Yeah. So I actually went there. This is Outer Mongolia, and it's primitive. When I was there, this is actually back in 2004. I don't know what it's like now, but there wasn't even a McDonald's there. I mean, that's give you an idea. And we met with different cashmere factories, and we opened up a little warehouse, and we got the looms, and you know, just set up a little place, and we had locals being hired and doing all these different things, and we started exporting, you know, cashmere. And it did okay. It wasn't fantastically successful. Art, inspiring, not only to the people we were working with, but to other Mongolians who ended up starting their own ventures and being successful at it too. Wow. So there's a little bit about what we were doing.
Yeah. Specifically going back to the book, what direct ties do you see between what you did in Mongolia and what you got from the book, just to kind of tease that piece out a little bit?
Okay. Well, what I realize is that if you think about it, I was in Hawaii when I went to Mongolia. I was from a place that's hot, where cashmere is not really used, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Place that is freezing cold, you know, and so foreign to me, a language that is so completely foreign,
right?
Working with people in an environment that is so different. But I realized that if you are willing to put in the work to make something happen, if you're really passionate about it, that you can, and which is there's a whole chapter on this in my book about leveraging existing resources,
right? Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. Zero.
Yeah.
But I started, so I was extremely busy, so I would find people that could help me. I didn't know what I was doing, so I'd find people that didn't know what they were doing. It wasn't my money, you know, that I was putting into. I had to raise the money. And so I realized that whatever it is you're trying to do, it is possible if you're willing to leverage those existing resources. And that's interesting because a lot of times we don't realize what we do have at our fingertips.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Think that there's just, if I could only do this, I'll finally get it done. But what we don't realize is that those things that you need may be right there at your fingertips. You just have to access them and realize that they're there for you.
And sometimes I think that we take for granted the skills that we've already developed. I think after a while, the skills that are inherent to us become mundane and common, and we tend to forget that which we've already gained, right? So my wife has had to point that out to me recently. I just started giving music lessons again, trumpet lessons and guitar lessons.
Yeah.
And that stuff to me has become so common that I play guitar and trumpet and do all these other things that I've devalued it, and I don't consider that to be a resource that I can leverage just because it becomes so common. But then as I meet other people who that's completely novel and new and useful to them, they're super eager to leverage that resource. And so I think that's another part of, you know, we become so accustomed to our talents and our own resources that we forget that we have those as well, that we can use those.
That's so true. Yeah, I love that.
So we talked a little bit how the power of starting stupid connected to Mongolia. What about the banker to the poor? Is there something specific that you can tie to your experience in Mongolia?
Well, basically used his micro lending model because it was different, but yeah. I used the idea of, I thought, should it be a nonprofit? Should it be a for-profit? What should I do? But I realized that there's this whole world of social entrepreneurship, you know, where you can actually be either nonprofit or for-profit, but it's okay if the people you're working with are actually paying you back. So that was kind of the main principle with Banker to the Poor. But if I hadn't read Banker to the Poor, I wouldn't have done the Mongolia thing. I wouldn't have done the Samoa thing. And I know who knows what would have happened if there'd be a center for entrepreneurship now or not. I don't know. I can't take credit for it because there's so many people involved, but I was a part of it, you know? And who knows if I would have been then going into consulting with all these different people and industries, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And so this
kind of catch back up to where we were a second ago, talking about the direct connection between Banker to the Poor and your experience in Mongolia. And you were kind of explaining a string of events, you know, from starting in Mongolia to what you did in Samoa, developing that Center for Entrepreneurship at BYU Hawaii. And then I can imagine that all the way up to the development of your book and all these other things, that one moment and that one book was definitely a part of a greater set of events that happened after that.
Yeah, if I hadn't have read Banker to the Poor, I wouldn't have taken those steps that I took, and it wouldn't have led me down the path that I took. And if I would have written a book at some point, it probably would have been a very different book, you know, about something very different. Because a lot of times we write about what we research and we write about other people's stories, but we also take from our own experience. And if I hadn't have had those experiences, I'd probably be in a very different position right now. I don't even know what I would be doing. It literally changed the course of my life.
Yeah, so. And see, that's exactly what I'm trying to do here with the blog. And that's your perfect example of great books have significant impact to help us make choices and influence us with principles that allow us to do great things. And it's a matter of uncovering those great books and identifying the principles that will help us to take those steps. And definitely your book is one of those, as well as, you know, a couple of other books that we've talked about. So we'll wrap this up, and thank you so much for your time. And thanks for telling us about your stories and the experiences that you've had and giving us perfect examples of how books can impact. At the bottom of the video, we'll put in the notes. We'll give you links to all the books on Amazon, give you more links to Richie's page and some other stuff like that. Appreciate you guys watching. Please go and pick up Richie's book at Amazon. Leave a review. You'll find that you might get stuck having to take too much action as you read it, so be careful. It's a little bit dangerous. And again, thanks again, Richie. I'm Mark from Mark My Words, and thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.